You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the relaunched version of Ravens Weekly. That's right, we've relaunched. If you didn't catch our latest episode from last week, do go back and have a listen. But we are back here for the second episode of our relaunched Ravens Weekly podcast, and we're delighted to have you with us. My name is Matt Hall, your co-host, and someone else I'm delighted to be joined by, as well as all of you, of course, is my co-host Josh Tindall. Josh, how are we?
Very good, very good.
Lovely to be here. It is a phenomenal setup that we've got now, going back to those plug-in mics that we used to use. I'm still getting used to it, actually. And when I'm talking now, I can hear myself through the headset, which is...
Yeah.
I hate listening to myself. And it's a bit weird.
That.
No, genuinely, I hate listening to myself. I really, really do. Anyway, lots coming up on the show for you today. We're going to have a look over Dorking and Woking, get some fixture updates, and also check out some of how our players on loan are doing. And we're going to hear from Mitchell Bergkamp, who's sat down with us for a brilliant interview, and one that you and I, Josh, really enjoyed doing. And also you caught up with Andy Woodman and a couple of other behind-the-scenes staff as well. But there's only one place to start, really, isn't there? And that was the visits of Dorking Wanderers to Hayes Lane, Josh. And just before we start, we look back at the game in November, and it was a thrilling encounter that day.
Yeah, I remember that day being sat up in the press box with you, Matt. I think we were both on commentary that day. It was nervy. I think it was one of those where you left the ground sort of relieved that we came away with the win. I think as the game sort of reached its conclusion, the nerves just kept increasing, and fair play to Tom Smith, made a couple of brilliant saves, and yeah, it was a dramatic game.
It was, wasn't it? And we move on to the fixture at Hayes Lane, which, of course, it's always brilliant to have a home game and to see the crowd and to say hello to everyone and chat to the fans and stuff. 2,500, actually more than 2,500 there on the day, which is a fantastic attendance. Not only that, but the fans, the noise from the supporters was brilliant. In particular, a group of youngsters behind the goal who stayed well after the final whistle and were jumping around and chanting and just making a racket. It's brilliant to see, and I know that Andy really appreciates that.
Yeah, it's obviously we've had noise at Hayes Lane throughout this season, but yeah, it was a little bit different on Saturday. And I remember being up in the gantry helping out with the filming for the National League stream, and yeah, I remember tapping the camera operator, Luca, on the shoulder and just telling him to film behind the goal. And we clipped that down, put it on social media, and Andy obviously complimented them after the game as well. But yeah, really good effort, and we need that every week.
Absolutely, brilliant to see. From my perspective, we had the RNLI, otherwise known as the Royal National Lifeboat Institute. Nearly made a hash of that one. And it was brilliant to see them able to fundraise. There were a number of volunteers there on the day. And really, this is a big thank you to everyone who donated. We are very proud to welcome charitable partners and organisations along to match days at Hayes Lane. And we look forward to plenty more exciting ones coming this season. But the RNLI came last year. And this season, on the Dorking Wanderers match, they raised over £563, which is a fantastic effort. And a big thank you to everyone in the ground that day who donated. It's a fantastic cause, as you'll all know. And, of course, there was information in the programme about it as well. Moving on to the match itself, Josh, we talked about the fans. We talked about other stuff going on the day. It was a 2-0 victory for Bromley in the end. And just a couple of things to pick out from that. Omar Shomi with the goal in the first half. The Man of the Match award, as chosen by Judge and Priestley, long-standing supporters of the club and match day sponsors that day. A well-taken goal, and Omar just seems to be, well, he's not taking his scoring boots off, has he?
No, I think I don't really know his tally at the minute, but he should be up there still. So yeah, he can do everything defensively, in attack. He's sort of that all round centre back that you need in your team. And obviously Tuesday night at Altrincham the other week, unbelievable then as well. And then to follow that up on Saturday with a goal, it just topped that week off, I think.
Well, he has 9 goals for Bromley in his career here so far, and 7 of those have been from this season. So that's a fantastic effort, isn't it, for a centre-back. And as I described him on the commentary, Bromley's towering centre-back with another goal, and it's brilliant to see. The second half, it went in. We went into the break a goal to the good. Second half, we were looking for that second, weren't we? And it was Charlie Kendall who provided it. I'm sure you'll be more than happy to tell us all about that one, Josh.
Yeah, well... You know, as a Lincoln fan, I'm buzzing for Charlie. He works hard, and yeah, no, he needed that. I think the past few games, you sort of see in his game that he's trying a little bit too hard and sort of played a little bit out of position, and then he was brought back centrally, and yeah, he just did really well on Saturday, got his goal, and received a lot of praise from the supporters after the game as well.
Ryan Stirk, do I really need to say any more than that? Obviously, he was missing from the lineup on Tuesday, unfortunately. But what a performance from the Birmingham City loanee, who had only had 2 training sessions prior to that game. He came in looking like he'd been with that team for weeks. What an outstanding performance. And actually, him and Omar were probably tied for man of the match. I think a lot of people might even have given it to Ryan on the day.
Yeah, well, I think everyone was sort of a little bit gutted when Ethan Coleman left, and we knew that it'd take someone with his similar style of quality to replace him, and Ryan Stirk showed that on Saturday.
I think you're absolutely right there, Josh. Since Ethan departed, we've been kind of lacking that steel in midfield a little bit, and yeah, lots of creativity, but just need that player to break it up a little bit and do the dirty stuff. And that's exactly what Ryan did on Saturday. A brilliant performance from him. Looked really, really comfortable. And fair to say, Josh, especially with your job on the social media channels, brilliant to see the reaction from the fans as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think we spoke last week about the frustration from the Mansfield fans on our social media when we announced the signing. So I think that sort of built up the excitement. And then, yeah, after his performance, I remember putting a tweet out. Can't remember what I said, but it was a picture of Ryan. And, yeah, it was just flooded with comments. And I think I think it was Instagram or something. I remember Andy Woodman sort of commented with a shushing emoji, like to sort of, you know, let's not get it out that he's amazing just yet, because we don't want eyes on him. But yeah, no, brilliant player.
Absolutely. And let's then hear the best of the action as brought to you by myself and my co-commentator, Dan Bentley, from that victory over Dorking Wanderers.
Arthurs takes this one short to Dennis. Back to Arthurs. Now Dennis again. Opportunity to cross. Does cross. It's a good one. Show me there.
Well, that victory on that afternoon capped off what has been a good 2023 in general for Bromley so far, but especially at home, as they are unbeaten at Hayes Lane, which is something to try and build on, Josh. Obviously, very difficult few games coming up. Three in particular I can think of: Notts County on the 4th, Wrexham on the 18th, and then on the 22nd of April, Chesterfield. So some big sides yet to come to Hayes Lane, but it's a good position to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And we've still got Boreham Wood as well in there. So very difficult run into the end of the season. Obviously, Notts County, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen that
Currently
day.
Top of the league.
I know. But, I mean, sort of takes the pressure off a little bit if we win tomorrow. But, it's going to be a difficult run in, I think.
Yes, we're going to look in more depth at tomorrow's game away to Eastleigh shortly. But a little bit of lone watch for you. George Alexander netted a hat trick against Slough Town. How brilliant. He's so in good. Fine form for
in
them,
the first
isn't he?
Half as well.
I know, absolutely
didn't,
brilliant.
He didn't even need the majority of the game to, you know, show what he can do. But
have you seen the goals?
Yeah.
Oh, honestly, some of the mistakes Very that were good. Made. However, you have to be in the right place at the right time. You have to have that goal scorer's knack, and George has really shown that he's got that, and he's in fantastic form for Welling United.
Yeah.
And Finlay Lovett also bagged a goal. So congratulations again. To him again. Yeah. It's no surprise, is it?
No.
These players going out on loan and scoring goals.
It's what they do.
It is what they do. It's what they do best. Some fixture news for you. FC Halifax Town, the match that we are eventually going to get played, has now been rearranged for Tuesday, the 14th of March. You can book your space on the supporters coach for that fixture by heading to bromleyfc.co.uk. Now, Josh, it's on to Woking, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a disappointing game. Obviously, we went 1-0 up, but yeah, the two goals we conceded was disappointing. I know Andy was disappointed with it as well. And going down to 10 men, sometimes it's that little bit more difficult to play against 10 men. But I think when you've got an extra player, you've sort of got that hope that you are going to get something out of it. But I mean, Woking are probably one of the best teams that we've played this season when they came to Hayes Lane, and they near enough matched it again on Tuesday. They're a difficult team to play against, and they'll no doubt finish in the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought they took a while to get into the game, and I think probably made a good start. I think the frustration in the end was that we could have got more from that game if we'd have got the basics right. You know, the passing was unusually sloppy on the night in large parts, and that's uncharacteristic of this Bromley side. And Andy Woodman said that after the game, that it wasn't us. I think that's a really fair reflection on it, actually. I know there are a number of players missing, you know, not to mention the likes of Michael Cheek, Ryan Sterk, Byron Webster, the captain, of course.
Yeah, true.
It's not easy to cope without such big players and such important players. But anyway, there was a beam back in Broomfields, wasn't there?
Which there
was well received. And the same thing will be happening for next Tuesday, or this Tuesday, if you like, trip to Torquay United. That's the 28th of February. And if you are looking to join us on that one, there are still spaces available on the supporters coach. So you can join us for that trip, bromleyfc.co.uk. Now, obviously, a disappointing result, but let's talk about the positives. Yep. And the major positive was the first goal for Mr. Mitchell Bergkamp. And what a well-taken goal it was.
Yeah, I mean, all came from the goalkeeper mistake, but good reactions from Charlie to find Mitchell, and it was a tidy finish, and I know that he'd be wanting to tick that off, especially given the first start as well. He's been coming on as a late sub the past few games, but to get thrown in straight away and then make that impact, I'm sure he'll be delighted.
I think he did really, really well, and obviously first start, first goal, and actually a good performance from him generally in that first half. There was a tactical change made at the break, but you know, Mitchell looked strong. Some of his passing was really good as well, and he just looks energetic. He looks fit, and he's been a great addition to the team, I think. And the goal, I could just watch it over and over again. You think when he gets the ball, he's just going to put his foot through it, but he places it so delicately and so carefully past Jaskalainen into the bottom corner. It's a real clever finish.
Yeah, no, I'm buzzing for him as well. He's a really nice man, and he'll be buzzing with that.
And he deserves it, doesn't he? Now, let's hear from the man himself. Josh and I sat down with Mitchell earlier to talk about all things Mitchell Bergkamp, including his start to life here at Hayes Lane and previous spells in his career elsewhere. And here's what Mitchell had to say. Mitchell Bergkamp, welcome to Ravens Weekly. This is your first interview with the club. We're delighted to have you with us today. Do you like our setup in here?
Yes, yes. It looks very nice, very professional.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Wow, high praise there. You are the second player to join us in this brand new podcast environment. Thank you so much for your time today. We're going to bounce between myself and Josh with the questions, but I'd just like to get started on how your move to Bromley came about. It all seemed to, I remember speaking to you on the first day, it all seemed to happen very, very quickly. How was it for you?
Yeah, that's how it felt for me as well. It was a bit of a process in the making before that with the manager. Obviously, he knew me from my time at Arsenal a couple of years ago when I was there. And I was looking around for options to sort of find where I could get to playing again. And yeah, it just basically popped out of nowhere for me. And very thankful, very grateful for the manager to give me this opportunity. And I came in, first 2 weeks training, and then basically made a decision after that we were going to stick together till the end of the season. So,
well, it's been brilliant so far, and we'll come on to that a bit more in a moment. But what was your initial impression when you walked into this building for the first time?
I was impressed, to be honest. I thought the facilities, everything, all looked very, very high standard for the fifth league in England, which it is. So, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, to be honest.
We've got a very close-knit bunch of players, which you will know better than us. How have you found settling into that group?
Great, yeah. No, honestly, I can say it's a great group of lads, great teammates. They've made me feel, very welcome from the first moment I've stepped in here. So, it's been very good.
Let's go back a few years now and talk about the build-up to your move here, really. How did it all start for you in terms of your footballing journey and your career?
Whew, that's a lot of years back. throughout my youth, I've mostly played in Holland for Almere City. It's a Dutch team. And then when I got to the professional age, so whatever that is, like 18, 19, I left and I got an opportunity to sign for Watford in England. Stayed there for a season. Then had some slight hiccups with injuries and COVID. The year long of COVID didn't help me out much. And it's been a long process last season to get back into fitness, get back into a rhythm to hopefully still be able to make a nice career for myself. And that's when I put all my attention back into finding a way to play somewhere in England. And that's when this opportunity came about, which I can be nothing but grateful for.
And you talk about spending a majority of your youth in Holland. When you moved to Watford, what were the differences in the football for you?
It was a lot more focus on the physical side of the game, not just in terms of winning your tackles or whatever, but also in the running, the amount of running you do during a game, the high speed runs. There was a lot more focus on that from Holland, especially in the youth. I'm used to just everything is about technical ability, like passing and first touches and whatever, which I obviously like. But that was the main change for me as well, the main shift, I'd say, for me, which it suits me quite well because I feel like I'm all round a fit player as well. So it's worked out well for me so far.
And you've made a few appearances in the league so far. How are you finding the National League?
Yeah, it's a good level, to be honest. The times I've come on, I could really feel the intensity of the game here. It's very passionate among the players and the fans as well, which is just amazing. And like I said, it's got a good energy about it. I've been enjoying it so far.
And you mentioned the fans there. Have you heard your new song from the terrace?
Yeah, I've been absolutely loving that, yeah.
And I think there was a Dutch flag as well, I think, behind the goal on Saturday.
I spotted that too. Yeah.
So the fans are taken to you well. So
well, we are global, so that's no surprise, you know.
True. Huge team. But yeah, you scored your first goal on Tuesday night. How was that?
That was amazing. Yeah, of course, something you dream of as a footballer to have your first start and the score as well. That's just immense boost of confidence for myself. And I mean, it's in the end, hopefully a return of interest to the manager and the chairman, you know, taking this opportunity with me for them as well, like just to show them that it's, so far it's been good.
And it's a tough trip to Eastleigh tomorrow. How are you feeling?
Yeah, tough game. I mean, I'm always confident, especially in our team, that if we perform to our potential, then I feel like we can beat anybody in the league. So I think it just comes down to that, being fully prepared, which I feel like we are. We've had a lot of games past couple of weeks and a few more coming up in the short stretch. So yeah, just got to be prepared, stay focused and put it all on the pitch.
And on a personal level, what are your ambitions for your career?
Well, for me, the most important thing is to just make the most of it, which basically implies for me giving everything every single day I come in, wherever that is, and giving it my all to the club, to myself, and in terms of where I'd like to end up, I have no idea. We'll see. Hopefully I can make the most of it for myself. I believe in my own ability, my own potential, so we'll see how far we can go.
And how have you found working under Andy Woodburn? I have to say, when I see you around the place, you really seem to be at home, you seem to be enjoying it, and you seem to really be buying into what the club is all about.
Yeah, no, I think that's worded exactly how I feel as well. Feel very at home here, especially with, of course, the sort of relationship I already had with the manager from my time at Arsenal. I mean, he's made me feel very, very welcome here. So it's been nothing but good, yeah.
Talking of your family, it's been lovely to see your father, Dennis, and your mum, Henrietta, come to watch you at the games. And your mum said to me the other day, he absolutely loves it here. And it seems that your parents love coming to watch you, which is lovely to see.
Oh, yeah. They've really enjoyed it coming here. Like I said, for myself as well, the energy around the place, especially on a match day with the fans, it's great to be a part of. So for them as well, it's been a couple of years now since they've been in the stadium for my dad. So it's nice for them to be able to watch me.
And your dad has obviously played at some of the best stadiums across the world. You talk about him coming to Hayes Lane. What's his thoughts on Hayes Lane?
Well, I don't think he's ever played here, so he's missed out on that. like I said, same thing as how I feel about the place. He said it's really impressive to see what the energy the fans have brought upon this place. And, you know, especially in these close games that we've had, it just gives an extra boost, and he could feel that as well as just being there in the stands. So it's good.
You must have been asked this question so many times, but your dad being one of the greatest footballers ever, you know, that must have been incredible for you to be able to have him as a role model to look up to.
Yeah, 100%. I can't really say much more than that. It has been amazing. Especially because we're similar in terms of position on the pitch, and I'd like to think my play style is somewhat similar to what his was. So any questions I have, any thoughts I have, I can just go to him, and it's been like that ever since I've started playing. So it's always been a great help to me. Yeah.
I was going to say that you must have watched your dad hundreds of times as a young player. And was it always your kind of ambition to model your own game on his or not?
I think that just kind of happened. I'm not too sure. I don't think I've ever thought about really modelling my game after him. It's just that whenever I played football, it just felt natural to me to to do the kind of things which I guess look similar, or yeah, in how far you can say it's similar, match his play style. It's never been for me about trying to base it off of what he's like or other players or whatever. It just felt natural to me to play the game a certain way, and I've always stuck to that.
And you mentioned earlier that you've settled in here really well. Who are your closest teammates at the minute?
To be fair, I get on pretty well with all of them, I'd like to think. But I'd say with Bezart, I spend a lot of time with.
He's your roommate, isn't he, as well?
He's my roommate as well, yeah. Yeah. And, Louis Dennis, we go on really well. We have good talks about football. We see the game similar as well. So it's always good to have conversations with him. James Vennings, Rhys. I could go on, basically everyone. It's a testament to how good the group is. It's just a great bunch of lads, really.
And I was out there taking pictures of training earlier. Everyone seemed really happy. Everyone seemed in high spirits. How are you finding training at Bromley?
Yeah, great. It's it's similar to how we are as a group. It's just good energy. We always give it all. So it's a good feeling to be out there. And training's been good.
Just wanted to touch on a point Josh made a bit earlier on, that first goal that you scored on Tuesday. It was so great to see you cap off your first start with a goal, which is fantastic in itself. But it was a really clever finish, actually. And I think it's getting a lot of love online at the minute. Talk us through it, if you can.
Well, I remember I went up for a header with the defender, which I think it just went over my head or whatever. And it went back to the goalkeeper. And I saw Charlie up top, he had an angle towards the keeper, which, it played out well because I don't think the keeper really hit it nicely or whatever, or correctly. So I went into his feet, and the only thing I was thinking about was just get in the box, make sure I've a yard, maybe half a yard, to just get a touch and a shot off. And, it was great that Charlie saw the space, played it into me. I just remember taking the touch and could sort of sense that the left corner, from my perspective, was going to be open. And especially with the defenders in front of me as well, I knew as soon as the ball would pass them, the keeper wouldn't have time to react. So I didn't really have to hit it that hard, thankfully. So, it was nice.
Overall, obviously, brilliant to score that goal, but a shame to not win the game on the night. But we've got a determined group of players here, haven't we, who are ready to go again?
Yeah, that's the first thing I felt after the game as well. We're very disappointed, of course, with how we gave it away in those couple of minutes. But the main feeling was, okay, regroup and we go again. Next game, just make sure, don't let it happen.
And only two defeats in 14, and they, to be fair, have been against second and third in the table, and the games were close. Josh talked about Saturday. It's a big game, isn't it? Obviously, Eastleigh leapfrogging us on Tuesday into seventh place, because it really is now about every game is a cup final, to cliche it. A big run of games coming up to get and secure this place in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like that is just going to motivate us more to have that feeling that every game is a final. That I think for this group that will just add that extra bit of not pressure but motivation to really get in there every game, give it all, and make sure we get the best outcome possible for ourselves.
It's a sold-out supporters coach going to Eastleigh tomorrow. Let's talk just a little bit about the fans. It's very clear to see that from day one, you've been a fan's favourite. How's it been meeting everyone? And I'm sure plenty of autographs being signed.
Yeah, it's been great. It's a great feeling, of course, when someone asks for your autograph or for a picture. It's you never get used to it. Well, at least I wouldn't. Maybe if it happens year after year, day after day, you would, but no, for me, it's great to see. And yeah, like I said before, the energy the fans give off during the game, it's amazing. It really is a boost for the players, for the team. So in the end, we're out there for them as well. And hopefully we can show that every single time we play.
You talked earlier on about having a little break, and obviously COVID and injuries have been a frustration for you. You've come in here, you're around a month and a half, just coming up to a month and a half into your time here. How's your fitness journey going at the minute? How do you feel about everything?
I feel great. I really feel, probably the best fitness I've had in my entire career. Physically wise, conditionally wise, it feels good.
And just to round off, what message do you have for the fans?
Yeah, that I can promise them that we as a team, we as a group, we're here every single day giving it our all. And I know, from what I've seen, what I've experienced from this team, that the potential we have is definitely among the top of the league. So I hope towards the fans, we can show them every single game that all their support will be worth it in the end.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Mitchell. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah, really great interview there with Mitchell. He's a top guy, and I hope he does well for us this season.
Absolutely, I'm sure he will. You know, he's made a really good start to life here, and that was a fantastic interview to do and to be able to sit with Mitchell. And I look forward to hopefully having him back here on the podcast, Josh, because I think he's going to have so much more to share with us and share with our listeners. Big thank you to Mitchell for taking out the time to chat to us. I thought he spoke very, very well, and it was wonderful to be joined by him. Moving on then, we had a little event here at Hayes Lane on Thursday evening as we hosted the Kent Schools Cup Finals on Thursday, and that was between Ravenswood School and Hurstmere, and the full-time score there was 3-1 to Ravenswood, obviously being a local Bromley school. Congratulations to them, commiserations to Hurstmere, but I'm sure it was a valiant effort from them as well, and it's always great to host the Schools Cup Finals here. And what a brilliant pitch, Josh, for young players to walk out onto. We say this with our soccer schools as well, you know, to be able to walk out and play on that pitch and then come back and see the first team professionals in action.
Yeah, I think it was last season, I was outside for one of the schools tournaments, and the atmosphere as well is decent. Brilliant. Because obviously playing the final at Hayes Lane, your schoolmates are going to want to come down and show their support, and they do. Like, they come down, they make the noise and get right behind their schools, and yeah. No, really good to see.
It is fantastic. I've done the stadium announcing for a few of these games before, and they're always entertaining games. There's a lot of talent out there, it really is good to be part of, like you say, the atmosphere. It's a little bit different to that of a first-team Bromley fixture, but it's great to be a part of nonetheless. Now, Josh, moving on to what I referred to earlier as interviews with staff behind the scenes, and you caught up with events coordinator Harriet Redmond, didn't you?
I did indeed. We've got... We've got a load of events coming up, which Harriet will talk about, but I think the main ones, they happen in Broomfield. So we've got St. Patrick's Day and obviously the Cheltenham race day as well, on top of the whole being back in Broomfield on Tuesday night. So, I'll let Harriet explain. Harriet, how are you?
Hi, Josh. Yeah, really well, thank you.
Okay, so let's get straight into it. What is your role at Bromley FC?
Oh, so I'm the events coordinator here. I've been here for about 3 months now. So what I do is I'm going to organise private parties, birthday parties, corporate events, wakes, weddings. And we normally host these in our venue suite or our Ravens Lounge.
And what is your background?
So I originally came from retail management. I've done that for a long time. But I have a lot of experience in the hospitality sector. I've trained as a barista. I have bar management skills. So, yeah, I'm a bit of a jack of all trades.
And like you said, you've been here 3 months now. How are you finding life at Bromley?
Oh, I love it. I think football is very inclusive. It's a friendly, fast-paced environment. As I said, I've only worked here for 3 months, but I feel like I've learned so much. And I found out football isn't just what goes on the pitch. There's so much more behind the scenes that you don't realise.
And as our events coordinator, what events have we got coming up?
So we've got some really great events coming up. Our next Tuesday night live will be on the 28th of February. This is Bromley v Torquay, and this will be live streamed. So we want people to head down from 6:30, get some coverage, get their drinks and watch that. For March, we've got St. Patrick's Day. We'll be celebrating that along with the Cheltenham races. We're going to have some great food and drink offers. We're going to have some traditional Irish dishes. Guinness will be on a 2 for £8. and we're going to have some music on. It's going to be a really, really good night. We'll also be hosting our first quiz night. That'll be on the 30th of March. So we're going to continue that throughout the year. We're going to do that on the last Thursday of each month. And there'll be some great prizes to be won. So keep your eyes peeled on our Universe account. This will have all the events coming up throughout the year.
And why should supporters take advantage of these events?
Not all our events are going to be ticketed. So we want our supporters to get down, come to our free events, support the club. I mean, we wouldn't be a club without all our supporters. We want them to head down, grab a drink, enjoy the atmosphere.
Yeah, fair play to Harriet there for taking the time out to speak to us. I know she was a bit nervous for it, to be fair. So yeah, really, really pleased that she came on. I know we've got a few more staff members behind the scenes who are lined up for future episodes. So we'll catch up with them soon.
Well done, Harriet. I thought that was really, really good. It's always great to hear from people behind the scenes who some of the supporters might not know as well as the on-the-field staff, if you like. So, yeah, brilliant stuff from Harriet there. Let's move on, and let's move on to tomorrow. And that is a trip to Eastleigh. And would you believe it? We've sold out the supporters' coach.
Oh, love
it. Can you believe it? Yes, I did just say we have sold out the supporters' coach.
That didn't work, Matt.
No, it didn't. I'm just getting really excited with all these new sound effects. I mean, I don't even know what that
was. He's got a new toy and he's just, you know.
Well, you've positioned it facing me, Josh. True, not facing you.
Well, I thought I could trust you, Matt.
No,
you're a professional.
Can.
You're all the voice of Bromley FC. And
I'm going to calm down a bit now.
Yeah, I think you should.
Moving on then to Eastleigh, which is where the Ravens make the trip to tomorrow, Saturday the 25th of February.
Away day.
Away day, absolutely. Away day down south, which is unusual, isn't it? Nice. Usually we're going up the other end of the country. Anyway, it's, historically, Eastleigh has been a bogey team for Bromley. However, in recent years, there's been kind of a little, recent couple of years, there's been kind of a little shift in that, hasn't there? We look at the last trip to the Silver Lake Stadium, which was a 2-0 victory for Bromley in beautiful weather conditions. Let's hope for that and a similar result tomorrow. And it was Billy Bingham and James Vennings, the midfield duo, with the goals on that day. And they were brilliant goals as well, weren't they, Josh?
Yeah, they were. I mean, they just add to the collection of good goals we've scored at the Silver Lake. Remember the strike from Jordan Higgs in 2017?
Oh, one of the best, well, probably the best long-range strike I've seen as a Bromley supporter.
But yeah, it was a good day. And like you said, it was nice weather. But yeah, it'll be a tough one tomorrow. But, you know, never know, do you?
You don't. But Eastleigh have leapfrogged Bromley in the table after Tuesday night's victory away to Maidstone, where, of course, Bromley lost out to Woking on the night. And they sit seventh in the table on 50 points. Bromley one place behind in eighth on 47. So Saturday is a big game, isn't it, really, in this playoff race?
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult one, Matt. I think if we lose, it's going to take some doing to get where we need to be, especially with Notts County, the opposition, next up for us to bounce back. But, you know, we've shown good signs over the past few weeks, and I know the lads are up for it. I've obviously seen them in training this week, everyone in good spirits, everyone laughing, everyone working hard, and I know Andy's feeling the same. But yeah, I think tough opposition again. But in the first half, we looked the better side against Woking. So we just need to carry that on Saturday.
Indeed we do. And they've won their last four league games. And actually, their only defeat, other than a 2-0 defeat to Barnet at the end of January this month, was a 4-0 FA Trophy defeat to Maidstone, who they then beat in the National League on the 21st, Tuesday just gone. So they come into this one off the back of that 3-1 victory and two league victories prior to that, in between that defeat in the FA Trophy. It's going to be a tough game. It's a tough place to go. They're finding some really, really good form now. And actually, we look back at the fixture earlier on this season between Bromley and Eastleigh at Hayes Lane. And on that day, Eastleigh became the first team to score at Hayes Lane, I think, in the National League this season, and it was in the first minute of the game. Do you remember that one well?
It was. I think I'd just taken my seat, to be fair, and then we were 1-0 down.
Defensive error, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But But yeah, we came out on top that day. Adam Harriott with a brace, and yeah, I remember the celebrations after. They were very good, and yeah, there was belief amongst the fans even at that early stage of the season. And yeah, the sun was out. Went straight to Bear Island after. Happy days.
Oh, all for that weather again, eh?
Oh, I know.
Anyway, there is further good news about that fixture. If you wait 1 second. The supporters coach has sold out. Yes.
We need a chair button now.
Has sold out. That didn't work, did it?
That didn't work, man.
Anyway, we move on.
We move on.
The supporters coach has sold out, which is fantastic. Thank you to all of you for your phenomenal support. I actually had to ring Anderson Travel and say, can you do us a bigger coach? A big thank you to Alex and the team at Anderson Travel as they duly obliged. And we are taking a coach load down to Eastleigh tomorrow. And
especially after a defeat on Tuesday as
that's
well.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, it's true. It was a good away support on Tuesday as well. But I know that many other fans will be making their way down via different means. So we look forward to seeing you all at the Silver Lake Stadium. Have a safe journey, however you're getting there. And don't forget to be loud and get behind the lads as tomorrow is a really big game. And talking of Eastleigh and a number of other things, I was otherwise engaged earlier on, Josh. So you caught up with manager Andy Woodman for his pre-match thoughts. And here's what he had to say.
Andy, how are you?
Josh, I'm all good. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good.
We've been left by the other two. They've done one podcast and they've gone.
I know. Matt's running around and he's just, you know, left me to it now. So it's just me and you. But how's the week been?
It's been an okay week. I mean, the result in the week was disappointing. But that said, you know, the sort of goals we conceded weren't really us. Two set pieces and people not really, you know, picking up their man right on half time, which is never a good time. To do it once and then to do it twice is a killer. But we lost, so we got to take down the chin and we got to go again. You know, we're in the mix.
And one positive from that night was Mitchell Bergkamp, first start and the first goal.
Yeah, Mitch done really well, didn't he? I mean, it was a good finish for Mitch. He's a good player. We know he's a good player. And it's like everything. I see people ask me, why is so-and-so not playing? Why is so-and-so? I can only pick 11. and then Mitch scored the other night. And the system changed a little bit at half-time. And that's football, you know. We try to find a way to get a goal back, and we didn't. I think sometimes when a team goes to 10 minutes, it makes it weirdly harder to break them down. We've moved on from that Tuesday night. We've got to move on, you know, when we have ups or downs, but very quickly, because the games come thick and fast.
And obviously, it was a good following again from the Bromley fans. And tomorrow we've got a sold out supporters coach. So
yeah, I'm getting a real vibe about our group of fans. The away fans seem like they're growing in numbers and voice, and the home fans, the little section behind the goal, brilliant. I love them. They've really brought a bit of atmosphere to Hayes Lane, and I really want that to keep growing and continuing, because it really is quite nice. They've got their own little song they sing, which chuckles me. But they're a good bunch. Yeah, you know, home and away. But it's nice. We feel like we're growing a following now, and if we can keep that going and keep that narrative out there that come along to Bromley because the atmosphere is good, then brilliant stuff.
And now attention's turned to Eastleigh tomorrow. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, it won't be easy. Eastleigh are one of the form teams at the moment. They're having a good run. You know, they're a good setup down there. So, but I say it again, everyone's beatable and you know, on the day, if you get yourself right and everyone does their jobs, you can win your football matches. It's just about the margins. So nothing changes for us. We go about our business. We've trained the last few days. Probably everyone's wondering who's fit and who's not ill. So I'll keep that under my hat just in case the opposition listens to this.
I didn't want to ask.
I'm always a bit like cautious because I know how much research we do to find out who's fit and who's not. But yeah, things are looking much better than they were Tuesday. So that hopefully might give a few of our fans something to smile about.
Brilliant. Well, on to tomorrow. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you. And sorry we haven't got the other guys here, but hopefully they'll be back soon. Safe journey to all of our fans. Look forward to seeing you down there.
Yeah, really good to catch up with Andy there. And I remember he said after the interview that he preferred me interviewing him. So
I don't believe that's what was said, but no,
I think
you know
that's what was
if
said.
If you want to tell yourself that, Josh, yeah, then you do that. All jokes aside, a brilliant interview, Josh, and yeah, sorry I couldn't be there to keep you company.
That's all right.
And you know, hold your hand a little bit. But, no, it's brilliant to hear from Andy as always, and he really relaxes in this setup, doesn't he?
He does. He loves it.
It's like an informal chat, like you're just having a beer, isn't it?
He loves it. He came in and he just sat down, put the headphones on, and he was just like, right, let's go.
Mind you, he's experienced with podcasts, isn't he?
Oh, he loves
as
it.
Everyone knows, having seen the other podcast that he was featured in, which a lot of people Googled when he became our manager.
Yeah.
A couple of other things to bring you just before we finish, Josh, aren't there? And the first one of those is a free ticket offer. That's free entry for Bromley Women versus Hastings United. That's this Sunday, the 26th of February, and kickoff is at 3 o'clock. Broomfield is open a lot earlier than that. So please do head to the website. It is free entry, but you need to get your ticket online. That's bromleyfc.co.uk. Come on down and support the Bromley women as they take on Hastings United. And I'm just looking back at that FA Cup game against Hastings United. What a day that was. And that attendance record has been smashed now. But the atmosphere and the result was phenomenal that day, wasn't it?
Oh, it's so good. Historical day, obviously, first season in the FA Cup. And yeah, that was brilliant. See so many people there. And obviously, the record was smashed the season after. But I think the victory just made it, you know, what it was. And to draw QPR the next round, obviously, really tough opposition. And that's who knocked us out in the end. But no, it was a really, really good day.
Couple of ex-Bromley players in the Hastings United side as well, so could add a little bit of a bite to it. Should be a good game. Again, do come on down. Tickets are free, available bromleyfc.co.uk. Make sure you get them booked up. You cannot just turn up without a ticket for that one. Thursday the 9th of March is our Academy Open Day. If you're interested in being a part of that or having a look around, finding out more about the Academy, you can email Christine, that's Christine Lee@BromleyFC.co.uk, Christine Lee@BromleyFC.co.uk to express your interest on that. And we've got tickets on sale for our upcoming games, Josh.
We have indeed.
And that's Notts County on the 4th of March and York City on the 7th. So it's a very quick duo of home games, if you like.
Yeah.
Plenty going on.
Big games.
They are two big
especially
games.
Especially if we win tomorrow.
That's right. Do come along and join us for those. It's going to be a thrilling ride the rest of the season, isn't it?
It is. It is. I'm nervous. But
buckle in. Buckle yourselves up.
I mean, yeah, last season we had that FA Trophy run and this time we're chasing the playoffs. I mean, we can't just have an easy ride, can we?
It's never dull, is it?
It's never dull.
Well, anyway, I think that brings us to a close, doesn't it? I don't think we've missed anything off our imaginary script that we don't have.
Actually, I put time and effort to writing that script, man.
You call this a script?
It's
brilliant. You are brilliant.
Bullet points and everything.
It's a running order.
Subheadings.
And this is a blank sheet of paper. I don't even know why I've got that.
Oh, I don't either.
But anyway, thank you, Josh, for joining me on Ravens Weekly today. And thank you to all of you for tuning in and listening to us. We wouldn't be doing this without all of you. Don't forget, if you're not making the trip to Eastleigh, what was that?
You're
pressing buttons and
it was just our outro music, but I think
are you trying to shut me up? Or are you trying to suggest something?
Like, come on, Matt.
Anyway, we are live on Bromley FC Live Mixler tomorrow for the trip to Eastleigh. Don't forget, you can come on down to Broomfield on Tuesday for the match against Torquay. If you'd like to go to the match, you can join us on the supporters coach. And if you can't get to either, we'll also be providing live commentary for that one. Thank you all once again for your support, and we'll be back with you next week. Have a good one.
Up the Bromley.
You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.